listeners, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. This is Zach Gandra, your host, and with me as always is the inimitable Steve Gandra. How you doing, Steve?
I finally learned how to pronounce inimitable.
It's only taken you a year and a half.
What was that?
Inimitable.
Inimitable.
Okay, inimitable.
There you go.
You are not to be tolerated. Actually, that's not what it means. not to be imitated.
You know,
unimitable.
You need to go back to Wikipedia.
The unimitatable. If you're getting your information from Wikipedia, you have bigger problems than than anything else. Steve, when was the last time you bought a car?
I can't even remember.
It's I don't either.
While.
You've
yeah.
had.
Well,
you've
I bought
had...
my I bought my wife a car not too long.
Oh, that's
ago.
Right.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
what did you? Can you tell us what
yeah,
you bought her?
Well, she has a Hyundai Elantra.
One of the new hottie sporty sedans.
Yeah, it's a hottie sporty sedan. You know that. You know when your wife buys a car, you basically get your wife what your wife loves.
There you go.
That's it.
And make
sure that you end up doing business with a dealer that's like the guy that we have on
that we're
going
to talk to
you
today. Yeah. It's been a while. Okay, so the last time I bought a car, it's a Volvo S60. It's a 2002. So I bought it used. It's got almost 200,000 miles on it. So you can tell I was a big spender. I bought it from a friend's dealership, and I still had to go through the rigmarole with a sales guy. And it was fun because it was my friend's dealership, and I could just walk out and tell him to hose himself. And can I say that on the air? That was not.
You just did.
I just did. But, you know, a lot of people have a hard time with the car buying experience, but I think you've been in business, Steve, with Excellent Cultures long enough to work with car dealerships, work with a great car dealer. Right now, we're working with Toyota Marketing USA, so they're marketing
yeah,
department
we,
of
we've
USA.
We've had some great experiences with clients in the automotive business on both the retail side and the manufacturer and corporate side. And, you know, Fortune 500 automotive consolidators that have, like, you know, 100 car dealerships, but it's a very people-oriented business, and anyone who's ever bought a car knows that it is people-oriented. And you know, we're always looking for businesses from any business that have excellent cultures, which means that you do the right things with people, and you win by doing the right things with people,
right?
Not just, you know, grab and stash and run,
right? So we're excited to introduce our guest today. You want to go ahead and introduce him, Steve?
Yeah, Matthew Welch is the principal at Auburn Volkswagen here in the greater Seattle area. I had the opportunity to meet Matthew through a mutual friend who just spoke very, very highly of him. And in the preview interview where we got to chat and got to know each other prior to, found out just some awesome things that Matthew has done to build the people side of his business, to build a culture, and you know, some really high performance awards and things that they've won while doing it. So
yeah,
we wanted to get Matthew on the show so that he can tell us, you know, how he's able to build a culture that is successful in business,
right,
while helping the good guys.
And
win.
Before I unmute him, where he can speak for himself, I want to tell the listeners that I'm a 3-time customer of Auburn Volkswagen. Over the years, over the last, I'm pretty old. Over the last 2 decades, I've had 3 car deals with them and been thoroughly happy.
And when you were a young pup, you just ran the wheels off
those cars. I still run the wheels off those cars. But anyways, welcome, Matthew Welch. We're glad you're on the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm excited to be here. And I'm not going to try to pronounce that word you were talking about. I'm having enough time with Gandra. It's your both name.
Yeah,
Gandra.
So do we.
You
so
did
me.
Pronounce it well,
you
though.
Did it.
That's
you
the best.
Great.
I mean, I think I quit correcting school teachers when I was in first grade. I just let them call me whatever they want.
Whatever
and
they
want.
So
I'm happy to be here, guys.
All right, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, so Matthew, tell our listeners about yourself and your business and your philosophy and what really works for Auburn Volkswagen.
Sure. We are so blessed to have, I've been here 8 years, and we just have a tremendous team. Our people are our asset. How we approach what we do every day is a lot of fun. I mean, when you walk in the door, you feel a difference. And you can feel it without walking in the door just by going on the website. And what I mean by difference is we have a ton of fun. We have 65 people that care. And the biggest thing that we do as an organization is communicate and care for our people. You know, our core purpose is to deliver an experience in each relationship with our team members, customers, and community that exceeds all expectations. And we start with team members, because if our team members aren't felt cared for, they're not going to be able to deliver a very good experience to the consumer. We work a ton with nonprofits. Our biggest goal is to be a blessing in our community, to give back to our community. And a lot of people say that. You know, our actual tagline is Auburn Volkswagen, making lives better one Volkswagen at a time. But we really do. Right now we have 12 nonprofits that we're directly in contact with. We make videos for them. We engage and highlight what they do. And if you go to our website or our YouTube channel, you'll see, you know, October we did breast cancer. November we did the food bank. December we did for the troops kids at Santa's Castle. And we also, then our people took it on themselves to go buy a whole bunch of presents for Young Life and the presents for kids that couldn't have a Christmas in the Auburn area. So the staff is involved in all of it. With that, you don't have to compromise performance just because you're trying to do the right thing.
What I hear from you, Matthew, is that you're not doing this to get notoriety. You're doing it because, which so many businesses do. I mean, I don't know if we could find an automotive dealer on the planet that has 12 nonprofits that they're about doing what you're doing for them.
No. Our mission is to be a blessing in the community. We want to, you know, as Jesus said, love your neighbor. I mean, that's the number one thing, is to love your neighbor. And we want to be a blessing to the community. So we try to highlight what those nonprofits are doing. Not that we're great, but just, you know, what is Young Life doing? What is Dad's doing? Because they work with the fatherless. And we try to start with the beginning. We're involved with Kidco Anti-Bullying in the Pierce County School District, public schools. They put on assemblies by kids for kids. VADIS is the developmentally disabled. So we have 5 VADIS team members that come to work here. And we got named Employer of the Year by VADIS. But we're not here to say we got these awards. Those are our favorite team members.
Yeah.
I mean, every Wednesday, we know Chris is going to be here asking for Maroon 5 or Casting Crowns on our stereo system in the dealership. And everybody knows to bring Chris an espresso and that we're going to get this music. It's fun. It's a fiber of who we are.
Yeah.
And with that comes performance. So we've also been blessed by being one of the top 3 volume Volkswagen dealerships in 5 states for the last 4 years in a row.
So how do you, let me first make a little bit of a comment about VADIS. You mentioned VADIS.
Mm-hmm.
One of our adopted children is served by, you know, VADIS and has been for a number of years. Phenomenal organization. I mean, this is an organization that helps the developmentally disabled, you know, get gainfully employed in a meaningful way. And this young lady who we adopted when she was 3.5 years old, lives in a developmentally disabled support home, you know, kind of an assisted living apartment complex, and, you know, works at Papa John's folding pizza boxes, courtesy of VADIS.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just to see that young lady light up when she broke her world record of doing 11 bundles of boxes, you know, in one session in 1 week, as opposed to, you know, 9, which was the earlier record, and get excited about that is huge.
Yeah.
And you can imagine how challenging it would be for anybody to get excited about, you know, folding pizza boxes, but they do it.
They do it very well. Since doing that, they've invited me to be on their board, and to see behind the curtain of what they do has been just amazing. If we ran our business as good as Chris Christian runs that one, we'd be 10 times as good as we are, and I'll hire that guy if I can. But I'll tell you, they have over 500 developmentally disabled that they're coaching and have jobs for out in the community in 3 offices, and it's just neat to see what they're doing. We have 5 of them, right? But there's over 500, and 22 at Children's Hospital in Seattle.
So you have 5 VADIS clients working for you at the dealership?
Correct.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Some of them clean. Stephanie files. Chris cleans upstairs. 2 guys clean outside. One of them is working all the time. And they're just, if you ask our team, they love those five. They come to our Christmas party. Their parents come. It's a neat thing.
That's awesome. That is great. We need to go into our first break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with Matthew Welch from Auburn Volkswagen in Washington. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters, excellentcultures.com on Clay 1180, talking to Matthew Welch, the CEO of Auburn Volkswagen in Auburn, Washington, and he was just telling us before the break about all of the, is it 12 nonprofits that you guys, you know, you don't sponsor them and just send them a check.
No.
You are actively engaged in their missions and supporting and helping and connecting people with people. What a phenomenal thing to do.
Thanks. Yeah, we took my wife as our director of community outreach, and she could be speaking to this even better than I do. But what we've realized is writing a check, you know, for $1,000 here, $2,000 here, or a table at an auction. Those are important things, but we can have a bigger impact by making a video for them and highlighting what they do. And then they go speak with that video and can raise, you know, $50,000 or $20,000 because we have the video team that can do that. So it's really been tremendous blessing that we could have bigger impact with this similar type of investment.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Matthew, tell us your vision of a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement. Obviously, you know, your folks really get it, but our listeners are always looking for ways that they can establish a framework of excellence in a meaningful way, which you guys are doing. Tell us, what's your vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement?
The biggest thing is communication and trust. I mean, those are the two biggest things. All relationships in life, whether it's a marriage, an employer, anything, comes down to communication. And so I remember walking in to the last couple organizations that I was involved in leadership in, and the first thing is that they don't trust each other. This department doesn't trust that department. The technicians wouldn't buy a car there from the sales department because they don't trust them. And the same thing with the office, and you have five or six departments in pretty much any organization, and a car dealership's no different. The biggest thing you have to do is break down those walls so that you can trust each other and open up the dialogue and the communication. Because if you don't communicate and you don't say what you're about and have a common vision, automatically a breakdown of trust happens. So that's the number one thing.
Yeah, well, our listeners get that. But what not everybody gets is how do you operationalize that, Matthew? You know, mm-hmm. how do you, with the 65 people in your organization, mm-hmm. actually make sure that people are trusting each other, and they're not just kind of smiling and nodding their heads and then going on about their business, holding stuff back?
One of the first things we started doing was having team meetings, and instead of all 65, we do it in groups of 15 or 16. I would do it over 2 days. We do it twice a year, and we'll have two technicians, two receptionists, two salespeople, two office staff, two detailers, so that it's very intermingled and mixed. And we started doing this about 6 years ago, twice a year. And in those team meetings, we call it the state of our union, and they're given by me, and they're interactive. You know, we do icebreakers, say where everyone's from, how long they've been here, but everyone gets to communicate, and everybody understands where the dealership's heading. We overview it with, you know, for us in our business, we're attached to Volkswagen. So we talk about Volkswagen worldwide, then we talk about Volkswagen of America, then we talk about Auburn Volkswagen, our community, the nonprofits, the legal stuff that's coming our way, whether it's healthcare or whatever it may be. But everybody's informed. And then one of the things I got from a Maxwell book a few years ago was to spread true rumors. So then we started a leadership council off of that with no managers, and we meet quarterly, and we explain what's happening and how some of the decisions, because the rumors are going to happen. And if you can spread true ones, then it's a lot better than the ones they come up with on their own.
Yeah, that's great. So in these team meetings, or even in the true rumor meetings, as you identified them, mm-hmm. What percent is you talking or leadership talking and telling folks, here's what we think, here's what we're doing, here's our vision, here's what's going on, as opposed to them talking and providing feedback or asking questions around something that they might not understand, or even more importantly, what they might disagree with but don't feel comfortable saying in front of a group?
In the State of the Unions, the first third is interactive with everyone talking, and then it's a delivery of information, because we're really putting it out there, you know, what's happening. So it's pretty exciting, because they'll come up to me a month or two later and say, that's what you said 2 months ago, now it's in the news. So it's pretty, you know, they can see that progression coming. In the leadership council meetings, it's 75% the team members talking.
Yeah.
And then currently we're using the four disciplines of execution, and we're implementing that in teams throughout the dealership. That's probably 90% them talking and then coming up with their ideas.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, because typically it's so easy for leaders to just default into telling and talking all the time. When if you're going to have a culture of trust and communication, it's more about listening oftentimes than it is talking.
And leaders think they're good at talking.
Yeah, don't we?
When you listen, it's God gave us two ears and one mouth, so listen twice as much as you talk.
Yeah, very, 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 very well said. So, at Excellent Cultures, we're big Seahawk fans, as are are most people on the planet.
Go
you
Hawks.
Know, in this season, but we've really been studying the leadership and the impact that their leadership has had on building a high-performance culture for some time now, and had the opportunity to meet with John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks, and listen to him share, you know, his number one goal was to have the best relationship that exists between any general manager and head coach in the NFL. And when I first heard that, you know, I almost caught myself thinking, even though I knew what you just said was so true, that it's all about the relationships that exist, but gosh, this is the NFL, not Dr. Phil. And then, and then he went on to explain that sometimes he and Pete, the head coach at the Hawks, would stay until 2 o'clock in the morning, debating and discussing, you know, a decision and a point, and would not go home until they were on the same page and could both go full out and implement whatever it was they decided with passion. So relationships are pretty critical. How do you make that happen with your people and your organization, in addition to what you've talked to us about with these team meetings and the state of the unions that you have on a regular basis, Matthew.
And you, the example you just gave is probably the best one there is. You know, I read Pete's book, Win Forever, before 2012 season. Mm-hmm. And his book ends as he got the job from USC to Paul Allen, and he's talking about this cool opportunity and watch what's going to happen in the next 4 years, and that's how the book ends. But his entire philosophy was built over the 25 years of learning.
Yeah,
I mean, he says in the book his mistakes were the relationship with the ownership at two of the other places he was. So he wasn't going to make that happen again. And so the neatest thing about what you just said about Schneider and he is that they're not having a good relationship because they like each other. They're having it because they were intentional in the beginning and saying, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And they were put, and so if you have that intention, I have that intention with my leaders here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have great relationships. I'm going to listen. I'm going to care. I'm going to love these people and come underneath them. And if I come underneath them, then that models for them how they can come underneath their people. And if their people can come underneath their people. And so that you put the person at the top, you know, and then the customer gets the best treatment because that's the end result. If you're continually having tough relationships, how do you expect them to go out and take care of people the way you want them taken care of? They've got to be cared for. And it's got to be intentional.
So it's kind of tough to serve customers with excellence if you don't like people.
Yeah, I mean, when you, or if you're getting beat on from above.
Yeah, either
way. Right? You need to be being lifted up from underneath. We called it inverting the paradigm, and I think Pete even used that in his book.
Yeah.
We've talked about that over the last decade. You know, Rich Carlton does it better than anyone I've ever seen, but there's so many, there's so few that do it so well, but when you study those, it's a continual theme of communication and loving people.
Yeah, sounds awesome. So, Matthew, where have you seen, you know, this great value system that you've described for us start to deteriorate, you know, in your own organization or in others? I mean, what are trouble signs that leaders should look out for? I don't think that we're going to find, you know, too many leaders that would, you know, vehemently disagree with what it is you've shared thus far, if in fact they're truly about an organization of high performance. But I mean, how do folks get off track? What are some trouble signs that leaders should watch out for?
Well, I mean, the ego. Anytime ego enters in, it's edging God out. You know, I mean, your ego, as a leader, you got to take ego out, and you've got to be looking for feedback. And when you start having success, sometimes you'll stop learning. You'll stop striving. You'll stop. Well, then people get disengaged pretty quick. The biggest, I would say, signs are the beginning of turnover. You know, doing exit interviews. When someone's leaving your organization, you can launch them in two ways. You can launch them by firing them. Okay, that means you did a bad job hiring them or you didn't train them. Or you can launch them to a new career and something they're going to do. We want to launch them upward. So if you're having exit interviews, and you need to have them, first of all. When people leave, and when they leave, or you know, how were you treated? How did you feel? Did you feel valued? Did you ask those questions? And then, as an observation, if they don't want to tell you everything, you still say, okay, what are they leaving for? Are they leaving to start a new career, to do something different, or are they leaving to go to a competitor in your same industry? If that's the thing, you've got bigger issues.
Yeah,
because we want people to leave and learn and grow and accelerate their life and be better stewards in the community. And
so positive turnover as opposed to
exactly
leaving to go work for a competitor because they didn't get what they felt like they needed in your organization.
Is that, I mean, at least my little experience, I worked in the car business for a little bit, Matthew, and that seemed like normal.
Like we went through a period of time where we didn't lose a salesperson for 11 years.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's really amazing.
That's huge in that.
To another store.
Yeah.
Right.
We lost one to open a coffee shop, one to open an Edward Jones investment thing. That's fine.
Right.
But to go sell cars at another store, that's not that's not the goal.
Right. Well, but it's that just what you just said, an automobile dealership not losing a salesperson for 11 years is unheard of.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the highest turnover positions in the world, is it not?
Yeah.
Well, we are coming to the end of our second segment. We got to go into another break. But Matthew, one of the things we highlighted on your guest interview thing was you talking about reaching people through video. So when we come back from the break, I want to hear from you of what that looks like to you and what does that mean.
You bet.
All right, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. And we'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. This is Zach Gandra again with the inimitable Steve Gandra on bizculturematters.com. Actually, that's not a website, is it?
Excellentcultures.com
and Clay 1180.
Well, I just realized that Matthew is the one who's really inevitable because these tidbits that he's sharing with us on how he's built the culture that he's built are phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, Matthew, do you have a Twitter account?
We have Facebook. We do have a Twitter account, but I personally don't tweet.
Well, you tweeted during the show earlier because one of the phrases you said was every time ego enters in, you're edging God out, which is a pretty good business thought. I mean, even if you're an atheist, you got to realize that as soon as ego enters in, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're with, by the way, listeners, if you're just catching up, we're with Matthew Welch, president of Auburn Volkswagen, president. And was there another title in there, Steve?
Steve said CEO. I call it CRO, Chief Relationship Officer.
Oh, we nice. Love that. That's another tweet.
Yeah, Matthew. There you go. Chief
Relationship Officer.
Edging cheap relationships out.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys tweet.
There you go. We'll do the social media. But one of the things we highlighted on your profile before the show was that you really believe in helping people through video or reaching people through video. What does that mean?
Well, in a few things. Number one, in business, you have to differentiate yourself. We found, starting in 06, making videos is fun, engaging, easy. You can tell a story. People love it. You know, people communicate through video. YouTube's the number two search engine in the world. People communicate through video. And so the first thing we did was we made a documentary. We took a Jetta TDI. The Prius was the rage at the time, and we took a Jetta TDI because we just gotten a diesel Jetta that gets almost 50 miles to the gallon. And we said, okay, which one of these can go further on a tank of fuel? So we did what we call the TDI challenge. We had two chase cars, a Prius and a Jetta. The news departments came down here, and we took off, and we saw who could go further, and we tried to get from here to the Golden Gate Bridge on one tank. And we made eight videos and a documentary, and the Prius ran out at 549 miles.
Wow.
And the funny thing was no one wanted to drive it because it was just not as comfortable.
Right, right.
But we didn't know that when we took off. But the Jetta made it 733 miles and got 50 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And then we did it again. We came up just short of the Golden Gate Bridge. So we did it again in 2011 with the Passat, which has a little bit bigger tank. Again, this time we learned a little bit more, and we made 50 videos. And this time we made it to the Golden Gate Bridge, 800 miles on a tank, and the light wasn't even on. We could have went 900 or 1,000.
Wow,
that's incredible.
So that's how we started. But then we started, you know, let's have some fun. Let's make a fun video for Christmas. Let's do our commercials. Let's put them on YouTube. Let's make our YouTube channel. So if you go to our YouTube channel now, you'll see, you know, close to 300 videos divided into categories of enthusiast videos. We go to all the enthusiast drives, film them, our production guy puts them to music, and they're just highly entertaining, and people love them. So, you know, and then once in a while, you'll skip into a viral one that'll get thousands and thousands of views. So then we started with the nonprofit saying, hey, what if we do, and we do a fun Christmas one every year, but what if we do a video telling the story of what these nonprofits are doing, and we can bless them that way? And, boy, you'll see one on there for breast cancer that'll a four-time survivor, Tracy Dart, and Team Tracy, wow, raised over $100,000 with, and we gave her a pink beetle, and we wrapped it for the three-day walk. And so anything we do, we video it. Yeah. And it's, the response has been tremendous.
Okay. So I'm looking at the YouTube site right now, mm-hmm, and the most popular one that has the most views is the Leavenworth Drive 2012.
Okay.
What was that about? Do you remember?
Yeah, that's an enthusiast event. And, we actually had the camera, GoPro camera in a helicopter, that was flying around, and got some really cool footage, aerial shots, and it, a few hundred Volkswagens and some other people, you know, go on these drives. Enthusiasts, Volkswagen enthusiasts. There's BMWs. There's different, you know, car makes in there, but they, and a lot of Audis. But they go on these drives, and they're really cool. They're fun shows, and so our guy goes and films the whole thing. And actually, our helicopter got stuck in a tree. So if you want a camera and a helicopter, there is a tree on the way to Leavenworth. You can climb and get one. We lost the camera that day.
Oh no, that is hilarious.
So everybody's watching the video to see if they can find out where the missing camera is.
Yeah, you guys should make another video of hunting for that camera. And happened to run across Sasquatch.
Yeah, the late great camera hunt. So,
yeah, and one of the most fun ones we just did was this Christmas. We were just talking about the Seahawks. Byron Maxwell and Bruce Irvin are friends, and we called them and said, hey, will you guys help us support the food bank and the troops at Christmas? And so they came down, and this was the day after the Monday night game when they destroyed the Saints.
Yeah.
They came in, you know, a little sore the next night, and they committed their time, spent 2 hours here. And to get in the door, you either had to bring a can of food for the Auburn Food Bank or a toy for Santa's Castle for the troops, the Joint Base Lewis-McChord. They give Christmas presents to troops that can't afford Christmas for their kids. And these guys donated their time, and we raised 1,000 presents and over 700 pounds of food.
Wow.
And, of course, we made a video. So that's one of the videos on there. You'll see that we made, put it to music, and I think it's AC/DC. I forgot the song, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's great.
Thunderstruck.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, Matthew, we live in a nation, in an era, where the Gallup employee engagement poll tells us that 70% of American workers are disengaged, mm-hmm, which is the same number as 2 years ago yielded. This year, there's a new statistic that 18% say to the confidential poll but won't say to their boss that they actually hate their job. And the most common reason for hating their job is they hate their boss.
Mm-hmm.
The Gallup CEO, Jim Clifton, on his cover memo for the poll, calls this new generation of managers the managers from hell. We just decided to have you on the show and told one of our friends, and from out of nowhere, the guy says, oh, if I wasn't opening my own business, I'd want to work for Matthew Welch. So how can listeners make engagement happen when we're in an environment of change and disengage workers every place?
and that's not to say of our 65 team members that we don't have a couple.
Yeah, there might be one or two out there.
Yeah, sure. Definitely not 70%. I can attest to that. But you know, I just went through a study, or I heard an author the other day that I was listening to that had Black Sheep Leadership, and he talked about the exact same stat. The number of disengaged people has grown dramatically, and those influence the ones in the middle. So it's a problem going the wrong way. So the question you're asking me is how to avoid that. It's man, it's loving your people. It's coming underneath them. It's listening to them. You have to listen to your people. You have to engage them. You, as leaders and strategists, we all, anyone who's been successful probably likes to learn and read books and listen and learn. Well, if you come back and cast the vision, if you're not engaging them in the solution, no one's going to go with you.
Yeah.
You've got to engage them in the solution.
Yeah. Yeah, well, one of the great friends that we had that have had the great fortune to interview on the show is Jack Hollis, who is the VP of marketing for Toyota. And he told us when he was on the show that one of the biggest challenges he sees is that with, you know, when you're fighting to succeed in a business and it becomes all about the numbers and the quarterly reports, or if you're in a public company, you know, what are the analysts going to say about you, that it's so easy if you're not extremely careful to get focused, so focused on the numbers that you forget about why you went into business in the first place, mm-hmm. which was to serve your customers, and that in order to serve your customers, you had to serve your employees.
Yeah, we don't even call them employees. If you've noticed,
team members, right?
I mention it's team members because I don't have employees. I don't want employees. I want them to care about what they do. They're team members. They're part of a team. And yeah, you've got to listen. You've got to. And the other thing about it is, the days you don't feel like doing it, you got to do it. I mean, it's like a marriage. When is your job done? Never.
Never. Yeah.
You come to work every day.
Right.
You know, it's never an interruption. It's never an obstacle. It's never we have a saying that we actually got from Dean Curry in Tacoma. We say what we're for. We never say what we're against.
Yeah.
We just say what we're for. And if you keep it on what you're for, what you're for, what you're for, you don't talk about what you're against.
I love Dean. Dean's a great man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great leader.
And doing great things in Tacoma as well.
Yeah. Great leader.
I mean, one of the things that I love the conversation of, Matthew, is the idea of team. And I know some of our subscribers we have a daily coaching subscriber email that goes out. And I think today's it said, it's impossible to love someone you avoid, and it's impossible to hate someone you embrace. Mm-hmm. Would you guys agree, you and Steve, would you guys agree on that being a key thought in building a team and building leadership, is engaging, obviously, interpersonally, your team? And then secondly to that question, I think one of the biggest challenges we face in America is our Western civilization compartmentalized thinking, where we compartmentalize our lives into boxes and schedules, and instead of, like what you're saying, when are you not a husband? Never. You're always a husband. So when are you not a leader?
Right.
Never. You're always a leader. There's never an off time or an off switch. So what are the ways that you engage interpersonally with people? I mean, what are some ways to make sure that you get out of your office or off of your email and are involved in the team members' lives?
You're right on the money. I mean, you live it. You're living it. This isn't something I do. You know, I live this when I go to dinner. I'm talking to the server. You know, I mean, everywhere you go, you're living it. So you're living that love. Some of the habits I do daily is when I enter the dealership, I don't go in the back door up to my office and sit up in my office. I enter through the shop, walk through the shop, say hello to every technician, use their name. Ask, you know, by developing those relationships, you know, every day, you'll end up finding out what's going on in their life. What's going on with this kid? What's going on? Are they a Seahawks fan? You know, do we lose when this guy listens to the radio? He can't listen anymore. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm just thinking of things off the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know? But you're having fun. The people in your organization know it, feel it, and you've got to use their name every day.
Right.
Well, go ahead, Matthew, finish that thought.
I call it a PR. Hey, I'm going to put my phone down and go do a PR tour.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off the computer and go do a PR tour. I'm just going to walk around and do at least three times a day, walk around and touch people and make sure my presence is here and that I'm listening. And then you also can hear things that are happening.
Yeah, I want to underscore something that is just radiating out of what Matthew is saying that many of our listeners may not recognize, in that, you know, we have some really smart people at Excellent Cultures who are world-class experts in how to manage, how to train, how to lead, you know, how to do these really important tasks, who have, you know, proven by years and years and years of experience and performance. And In the area of management training, for example, training managers to manage effectively, there's come out this new technique of management by walking around, which is what Matthew was talking about.
Steve, can we break? That's a good segue to get people to come back.
Okay.
So let's take a break, and we'll get back. Keep that thought. We'll have you enter as soon as we can return from the break. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters, Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
So we're back at Biz Culture Matters and excellentcultures.com talking to Matthew Welch of Auburn Volkswagen. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, this management technique that's been labeled as management by walking around. Matthew called it that he was going to do a PR tour. So what I want to underscore here is this process works extremely well for Matthew because he loves people and he cares about people. And if you're listening to this and grabbing the technique of, okay, I'm going to put 30 minutes a day on my calendar to go walk around robotically and memorize all my people's names so that they think that I care and my motivation is essentially to squeeze more out of them, it doesn't work, does it, Matthew?
No, you got to live it. I mean, you've really got to live it and be intentional. You know, my intention is every day when I walk in, sometimes I really got to get to my office, but no, I'm going to walk through the shop with my briefcase, with my coffee, with my breakfast in my hand, whatever it is. I have to enter through the shop because guess what? They know I'm going to now. And if I don't, they say, I haven't seen you.
That's really good.
So you don't think what you do is noticed, when I bend over to pick up a wrapper or something off the floor on the ground and throw it in the trash can, they're always watching. Your team is always watching. And so if you're living it, that becomes the way of.
So
can I throw this out for both of you guys to answer, Steve and Matthew? I mean, Matthew, from the minute you got on and before we even turned the radio recorder on and whatever the live stuff, I'm obviously the technical noob. But you were like, come on, baby, let's go. Let's do this. So you're obviously not an introvert. So my question to you guys is, let's say you're an introverted leader, you're a business owner, you're an introvert, what are some tips for the introverts? I mean, obviously caring is that you have to care. If you don't care, it's just not going to
I got some of this from Wade Carter Sr., and I would he was not.
Is that Carter Subaru Volkswagen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wade was not an extrovert, was he? He was a quiet guy.
Very quiet guy. One of the shrewdest men I've ever met, and one of the greatest men I've ever known. And I would watch him pick up the wrapper. So I'm just emulating what I saw 15 years ago, you know, in a leader that was an introvert, but he was kind. He walked through the shop. He knew everyone's name. It doesn't have to be a high five, rah, rah. It's just, but it does have to be a sincere, authentic caring.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're not sincere and you're not authentic and you don't care, you probably shouldn't be in leadership.
Yeah. Well, one of the smartest, most prolific leaders I've ever had the opportunity to meet was General Byrne Lefke, who is a retired three- or four-star, I forget how many stars, general, but he was one of General Colin Powell's mentors. And Byrne says it this way, that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make a difference whether you're an introvert or an extrovert if you truly care about the people you're leading as human beings first. In fact, one of the measurement indexes that our biz culture MRI measures in leaders and in organizations is if people really do care about human beings as fellow human beings first and foremost, and then what are you going to do in your job role secondly, because in all the research, that's one of the key criteria of high-performance cultures where people are, you know, using, you know, full out as much of their potential as they possibly can, and it's always getting better and always improving. But if you don't care about people, then you shouldn't be in a business that has to do with people.
Yeah, and I read that in Colin's book, so obviously that sunk in with him because he said that same quote. One of the ones that's resonated with some of my people just in the last 6 months, they've heard it, they've latched onto it, is people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Is that true or not?
That's and huge. They just latch on to that, and so no matter what, they want to make people feel good when they come in here.
So very true. So put your coach's hat on for a second. Oh, well, before we do this, Matthew, let me ask you to go back. So many people listen to these shows on culture. I remember not too long ago, one of our clients won the Best Places to Work award in various different, you know, communities around the U.S. But this one, you know, invited us to, you know, participate at the head table, and we sat and listened. And in listening to all of these, you know, winners, these CEOs who won the Best Place to Work award based on the survey taken by their people, you know, I heard, you know, ping pong tables in the employee workroom. I heard free beer on Friday night. I heard casual Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, casual every day. I heard, you know, good benefits. I heard all of these wonderful perks. And what happens is people start to get to the idea that a great culture is all this warm and fuzzy stuff. When in fact, as we define a great culture, it's not about warm and fuzzy at all. It's about high performance. And it's about, you know, you just mentioned one statistic that in your business, you know, imagine how much cold, hard money could be saved by the retail automotive industry in the world if your competitors could even get close, or even, you know, your colleagues could even get close to that statistic you gave us a second ago, no turnover of salespeople in 11 years.
Well,
that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, and our margins are shrinking across the board. I mean, we're always trying to figure out how can we do more with less, but that doesn't mean your performance has to shrink. That doesn't mean, you know, the business is so transparent now. How are you going to, the question you got to ask yourself is, how are you going to differentiate yourself? We differentiate ourselves by saying what we're for, what causes we work with, doing it through video, having it be when you walk through the door, you can feel it. You feel people having fun. You feel people that care. That's what's in the future as everything becomes commoditized. What's going to differentiate you? And that's what you have to determine. It's not going to be lowest price.
Well, tell us some more of the performance level components that you've been able to achieve with your team members, Matthew, like the no, you know, salesperson turnover in 11 years. How has it made a difference in the cold, hard stats and numbers of your business by having the kind of culture that you built?
Well, you can trust it. You know, I mean, you when things aren't going the way you want them to, you can trust that culture a little bit. You know, you know that your people care, and so you know the performance aspect of it is we're always looking for ways to get better. Right now, our service advisors, we're meeting every week with half of them each for 20 minutes, and we're just working through the most important ways we can improve the satisfaction of our guests.
Yeah,
and the things that are coming out are things I would have never thought of.
Yeah, so customer satisfaction measurements sounds like it's one important way.
Well, it's huge. And we went from, you know, middle of the pack to number one in 18 months.
Wow. So number one in customer satisfaction.
Yeah, in the service department, we made dramatic increase, and then we step back a little bit. So now we're having these meetings. Okay, now what can we do? Now what can we do? Now,
so next
you
level.
Know, there, because there's competition out there, and you only mess up once, and then that customer's gone.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure you keep their trust, you're authentic, you care. So, yeah, customer satisfaction is one. Volume of sales is two. You know, how are you performing in your marketplace? What penetration? Last year we were 130% market effective. You know, so we're
30%. Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. And then I heard top three in your performance group. In five states. I mean, that's huge as well.
In parts, we were number two out of 105 dealers in the Western region.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, the metrics are there, but and like you say, those awards for those employers that are, you know, those are neat, but those aren't contests we're trying to enter. If we win, wonderful. It says a lot about your people, but we're just trying to do the right thing every day.
Yeah, so the goal is to do the right thing every day, and the byproduct or the fruit of that seed is some great performance and some awesome awards.
And blessing your community, because that's in our core purpose. Blessing our team members, blessing our community, taking care of our customers.
So put your coach's hat on for a second, Matthew, and as we wind down the show, what advice can you give to leaders that are out there, just boiling it all down, leaders that are out there, who want to build a true culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement that performs, you know, performs, mm-hmm. you know, in this continuous improvement kind of a mindset you've described mm-hmm. for us. What's the best advice you could give to leaders like that?
Couple things. Never stop growing and learning for yourself. You know, people can only, your leadership will be capped by how much you learn and grow. If you're not learning and growing, your people aren't going to be able to. You're going to put a cap on it. What I mean by that is, you know, the Seahawks just won a Super Bowl, and it was the coolest thing that's happened in this community in my lifetime, literally. And I got to go, and it was amazing. But they're a study in leadership. So turning off sports radio now that the game's over, and, you know, I've got a 35-minute, 40-minute commute each way. That's an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm listening to books. That because we don't have a ton of time to sit down and read, I can pick up an extra 20 to 30 books a year. Just by listening to them on CD, those type of things, going to see people in your industry that are doing it better, that are doing it well in other industries. You know, where do you go to dinner? When I went to Canlis, we had a team function at Canlis, and I was blown away by the service. So I says, hey, who's in charge? They gave me the owner. He came and he talked to our team for 15 minutes. But I went through his training process. How does he hire people? Wherever you go and observe great service, dive in. Find out what they're doing. Find out how. And pull these nuggets out. So the biggest thing I could say to leaders, especially no matter what your age is never stop learning. Don't cap your leadership. Because it'll continue. You'll be able to then apply a lot of it. You know, and you don't want to run back and say, okay, now let's do this book. Now let's do this book. Now, but you can take a little bit from each philosophy and blend it into your own, like Pete Carroll did.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's the end of the show, guys. Matthew, thank you so much.
You bet.
It was wonderful having you on the show.
Awesome fun, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We got to have you on again. All right, guys, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters. You're going to want to listen to that again. You're going to find it at excellentcultures.com. And we're signing off. Clay, 1180 AM. Goodbye.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTcultures or Facebook/excellentcultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner,